The reading appointed for today is from the letter of James, the first chapter. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. I think we all enjoy a good fantasy now and then. We go to movies and watch television for the fantasy of it. For that matter, reality shows like Survivor, Amazing Race, or even The Voice or Dancing with the Stars are fantasies too, decked out as reality to make the fantasy appeal to us on a different level. You know, what would I do if I were there? We see everyone's story on social media and how they're eating the best food. They take good pictures of it. They go to the best places, the beaches, the hotels, the parties. Their lives are just wonderful. And then we start to fantasize about our life. And then we get depressed because it isn't all that. Or how about sports? How many of you thought about singing Gloria when you walked in here today? You watch sports to escape it, right? To escape reality, to just be entertained and feel the adrenaline, whether you're a Blues fan, a Cards fan, whatever fan you are. But we just want to escape for a little while. Well, fantasies become reality in the sense that we return to real life. Because reality is our lives are not quite that thrilling or funny or seemingly as meaningful as the lives of the people we fantasize or enjoy. Our lives are rather plain and everyday. We get up every morning, go to work, and appeal and do our vocations. Sure, we can jet off to some vacation spot, but we are still us, not some glamorous celebrities or international spies on vacation. When we return from our fantasy or our vacation, we still have those same aches and pains. We still have that workload and the sea of emails. We can still rage against the stupidity of our culture, and no one listens to us or changes the world for us just because we're there. Fantasies give us the vicarious sense of accomplishment and significance or influence or whatever it is we secretly dream of. But we don't restrict our fantasies to works of fiction either. We like to pretend, to fool ourselves about our lives. And yes, even about God sometimes. How many times do we hear people say, or maybe even think for ourselves, that when hard times or difficult situations befall us, it was God dealing with us because of our sin or our unfaithfulness to Him? How often do we try to pretend to ourselves that we are basically good people and that our sins, unlike the sins of others or the person in the cubicle next to me, are insignificant and infrequent? Whether the deception is from someone else or we are just fooling ourselves, James warns us not to indulge in such fantasies, but to deal with reality as God explains and reveals reality to us. Not only does God not tempt us into sin, but every good thing which we have been given and every perfect gift is from God. This is a familiar message. It's the message of grace, ultimately. It says you did not earn it. Whatever good thing it may be, it was given to you by God. It could be the first article gifts of your life, your health, your hands, your feet, your mind, the ability to have a job. How often do we just take granted life? Well, it became amazing to me this past Sunday. I had the opportunity to preach at a congregation. And then afterwards, we had a luncheon for all the veterans who served. And one of the veterans was a Vietnam veteran who was an airborne ranger. who was shot and badly wounded in the Battle of Hamburger Hill in Vietnam. And he shared the story about how he was one of the second wave of soldiers who was just slaughtered, and he was shot to pieces. And he was taken back to the triage, and the doctor said, "He's gone." And they put him in the morgue. And then about 10 minutes later, they heard this. He was ringing his ring on the steel metal slat that they put him on before they were going to haul him off to be buried. His hands were strapped down, and he became conscious. And he said, "Well, the nurse that was there about had a heart attack." But they quickly unstrapped him, and he's here today. He said it was 50 years ago yesterday that death experience. But the point is that all good gifts come from God. He was a devout Christian Lutheran young man then, and he certainly is now. But then we also have the second article gifts, that we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, not with gold or silver, not by our own efforts. And then there's the third article. We didn't choose him. He calls us by the Holy Spirit, by the gospel, and gives us forgiveness and life. And then James goes on to remind us that our health, our blessings, and our being brought into the family of God and given forgiveness and eternal life is not a fluke, nor is it temporary or a passing mood with God. It is about who God is, his attribute of unchanging. He is a consummate good with no evil in him at all. He gives good things and blessings and salvation because that is just who he is, which is really a long definition for the word grace. Not only has God been good, but you can count on him to continue to be good and not expect anything bad from him ever. You can count on it because it doesn't rest on your fitness or your deservingness. It depends totally on God, who doesn't change. So your blessings and blessedness before God will not change either. He brought us forth, James writes. He brought us forth, referring to your conversion. For many of you, that was at your baptism. For others, that was when the gospel, the Holy Spirit, called you to faith. But you are the first fruits of creation that makes it clear that God brought you from darkness into life. And James reminds us that our status as Christians is by God's doing and by his will and not our own. He brought us forth, made us believers by the word of truth. We are the Lord's by his doing and his choice and not our own. And then we have the section that many preachers will talk about, make good logic and understanding or goodwill for marriages or relationships. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I think it's more than just that in relationships where James has it here. Let everyone be quick to hear the saving word, our context tells us. Being quick to hear means that you are eager to hear it and to go to where the hearing of it is. The word of God is the toolbox of the Holy Spirit in us and for us and through us to work faith in us and therefore forgiveness, life, and salvation. So we gladly hear and learn it. We read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it. You want to be where the word of God is faithfully proclaimed because that is how God works in you. You want to hear and listen and receive the word in your church, in your personal devotions, in your family devotions all the time. Be quick to hear. But you not only want to be quick to hear, but you want to be slow to speak. You don't want to be eager to hear and learn and then slow down and replace the word of God with your own. We like to decide what the word of God means rather than listening to it. We decide which passages they don't want to apply to our lives rather than applying all of them to us. So we want to be slow to speak, slow to interject our fragile and unreliable wisdom in the place of his profound, ineffable wisdom. Be still and know that I am God. And then we are exhorted also to be slow to anger. Anger is almost always a judgment. We have been wronged or someone else is in the wrong. We judge and get angry. Anger does not produce the righteousness of God. And finally, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Resist the devil, Put all that evil filthiness aside and all that remains of wickedness. Christ has defeated sin for you. He has made you clean. He has forgiven you. He has given you that great exchange of our filthiness and wickedness for his robe of righteousness. He implanted his righteousness in us at our baptism and continues to implant it in us through his word and his supper. Why? Because he loves you and implants into you God-given faith, which clings to Jesus for forgiveness and eternal life. So, my dear friends, as you leave this place, go, understand, and realize that this word implanted in you does save your soul. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.